Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith-McConduchy. That was Come Thou Almighty King by Minister Timothy Wright and the New York Fellowship Mass Choir. The song from 1994, actually, and it was brought to my mind. I guess it just came back to me from my days of the Vanderbilt Voices of Praise and the Voices of Christians Anointed by the Lord. That was my high school gospel choir at Columbus High School in Columbus, Georgia. So I don't know. It's just an uplifting song. Gets you energized and refreshed and renewed and just pumped up, excited about God, amen, and about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So thank you for joining me this afternoon. We are in the third segment of our series on prayer. We did the purposes, processes and practices of prayer in our first segment. And then last week we did the encounter, experience, and evidence of prayer. And this week we're focusing on the outline, output, and outcomes of our prayers. I said I was going to get very serious about prayer this year. And where the Lord is leading me, how God is directing me, guiding me, getting more discernment about my life, especially in certain areas of my life. And the two main target areas for me in 2020 are relationships and finances. I'm getting ready to do a thorough analysis of my finances very soon here. I'm actually in that process now, especially as we go into tax season, breaking things down and looking at specific aspects of my budget and savings patterns and debts and income and so forth. With regard to my relationships, just prayerful about whether God wants certain individuals in my life, if he does and how he does with those particular individuals, and then not just necessarily taking what comes my way, but really just evaluating through a spiritual lens if it's really from God. And so, anyway, that's not the focus of our show today, my personal experiences and my journey, but I did want to preface today's show with that statement. So, praise reports, 3-day weekend, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday celebration acknowledgement. So I'll be quite busy tomorrow. There are several things that I have on my agenda. I have some car work to be done, actually, and I'm going to see some clients and hopefully get to do some volunteer work with my son at the Dorothy Day House for maybe a couple of hours, if I could, you know, possibly work that in. So it'll be a busy day tomorrow, but there's been church this weekend. It's been pretty mellow. I intended to go out of town to Murfreesboro, but that did not happen. Right now, my grandmother's health is still in a somewhat compromising position. I want to just be available right now. And quite honestly, the Lord just said not to go anywhere this weekend, just to just sit and be in him, and just listen and commune with him. So I need some prayer requests, definitely. But first I want to bring forth prayer requests for others. I know of a church member whose adult child is going into some rehabilitation. Prayers for that situation. We've got some people with illnesses that need prayers for help and recovery. And also, you know, this country, this nation, America. We're going to be talking a little bit today about, quote-unquote, race relations and just unity and peace within this country. There's an election coming up this year. There's a lot of tension. I read about continual violent occurrences, you know, attacks on people and, you know, disregard for human life and such. So just definitely needing the divine intervention of the Lord in this case. Personal prayer request. My son is supposed to be starting school this week for his particular certifications and licenses that he's pursuing. Just prayers that all that will get lined up in the name of Jesus. And also just keeping in mind, I'm starting with some new clients and some business ventures going forward, some small groups, a small group I want to get up and running by February. So just prayers that will all come through. All right, let's have prayer. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for just blessing me, blessing all of us again and again. We know that Satan is on the attack. He's on the prowl. He's seeking to steal, you know, our joy, to kill our hope, to destroy everything that we have built upon you, Lord. But we're going to remain steadfast, and we're going to keep believing and receiving the blessings you have for us. We ask right now in the name of Jesus for your everlasting love, your abundant grace and mercy. Just cover us in every way possible. Cover us individually, cover our families, cover our workplaces, our schools, our communities, our society, Lord, because we would be, it is just, it's inconceivable of where we'd be without you. And we just ask that you forgive us our sins, our trespasses, and help us to have hearts of repentance, Lord, and we would turn toward you. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. So I want to look at, first of all, scripture verses that have to do with civil rights and civil rights laws, which is basically just human rights, right? What is civil, what is decent, what is proper as it relates to people. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 31:8-9, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Micah 6:8, love this particular scripture verse. He has told you, O man, what's good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. He is your God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Psalm 82:3, give justice to the weak and the fatherless, maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together, the Lord is the maker of them all. Exodus 22:21, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. I sometimes get a little tongue twisted with that word, sojourners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty by those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Acts 5:29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So, looking at some new civil rights leaders, Emerging Voices in the 21st Century. This is an article in the Los Angeles Times. It's from 2015, so it's a few years old. Almost 5 years old. Wow. But I wanted to look at, I know we talk about, and we definitely want to acknowledge our pioneers, our predecessors, those faithful, brave, courageous, movers and shakers of the 20th century, especially, even the 19th century. But I wanted to call attention to this new generation of civil rights leaders and what they're doing. Many of you may have heard of them, but have not. The first one I want to mention is Michelle Alexander. She's a civil rights lawyer and scholar, age 47, again, this is 5 years ago, so we're talking about maybe early 50s now, from Columbus, Ohio. But she, as a professor at Ohio State University, Her book in 2010, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, argues that one system of racial oppression has been replaced by another. The nation's jails and prisons filled disproportionately with black men. She doesn't say that necessarily there are more in prison than there are in college. That's a misconception, and that's not accurate entirely. But she talks about this, particular situation or condition of, many black men being unjustly in prison, accused of crimes they didn't commit, not having the money or the resources to obtain quality legal counsel and so forth. Erica Andiola is an immigration activist, looks like about early 30s right now. She appeared on the cover of Time magazine in 2012 with 35 other immigrants living in the U.S. without authorization. She's a graduate of Arizona State University. And she talks about the deportation laws and just advocacy for those individuals who want to be full American citizens. There's a man named Nihad Awad, executive director, co-founder, Council on American Islamic Relations. And of course, he's, obviously is an opponent of the blanket surveillance of Muslims, especially ever since 9/11. He said he hopes to provide young and preteen girls of color opportunities to learn in-demand skills in technology and computer programming. Kimberly Bryant, she's early 50s. She's from San Francisco, founder of Black Girls Code, and I have some of my students involved in this, particular organization, which is doing extraordinary work in terms of 21st century technology for millennials and Gen Z. Her organization provides preteens the opportunity to learn computer programming skills and develop a grasp of basic technology. And the group offers summer programs nationwide where young girls can attend workshops and hear from experts in the field. She was honored in the White House in 2013 with the Champions of Change Tech Inclusion Award for her efforts to expand technology. Susan Burton, this woman is age 62. She actually was addicted to alcohol and crack cocaine. Her son was hit by a car and killed in 1982. And then she turned her life around. She became founder of A New Way of Life, which aims to help women in South Los Angeles after their release from prison. In 2010, she received the Citizen Activist Award from the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. She served 6 terms, 19 months, 2 years, 3 years. So that's an amazing story. This writer, Ta-Nehisi Coates, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, looks like he's close to around my age now. Coates explored how slavery and segregation, along with federally backed housing policies, prevent African Americans from attaining wealth. In a June 2014 piece titled The Case for Reparations, Benjamin Crump, he's in his 40s, civil rights attorney in Tallahassee, Florida. Represent the families of Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy shot and killed by a police officer in Cleveland. Patrice Cullors, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, looking at, again, this, mass tragic, occurrence nationwide of young black men being slaughtered in the streets, who did not, in most of the cases, if not all the cases, have any weapons on them at the time. We were not posing any viable threats to anyone. Fania Davis, founder of Restorative Justice for Oakland Youth, she is the sister of political activist Angela Davis, and she's used organizations as a platform to work with Oakland Public Schools to reduce suspensions for minority students and to form new diversion programs. So those are just a few of the individuals. You can go online and read about the rest of these, but I wanted to talk today especially about this outline, output, and outcomes of our prayer. So many people in prayer, they may have a certain outline. You've heard of pray, you know, possibly or most likely is an outline for prayer, the P standing for praise, the R standing for repentance, basically going before God and you know, saying that you're going to, asking for forgiveness for your transgressions and how you're going to make better choices going forward, the appeal to God of whatever it is you may be petitioning God for, and then yielding to his will for your life. People have done a double, there's care, confessing our sins and transgressions, and then the A for appealing or asking of God, repenting of our wrong doings, and then the desire to engage in the Lord's plan for you. So there are different patterns or ways that you could look at those outlines. And not that you have to always follow an outline, but it's good to develop one because it does give us some sort of framework for our prayers. Going for God's God of order, as you know. So I'd encourage you to, you know, maybe come with your own or use one of those and adapt them. I currently have a 5-point system of prayer. I pray for, first and foremost, a family member, then secondly for a friend, a church member, the larger community or society in which I'm in, and then lastly, prayer requests for myself. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the acronym. It can be kind of a system like that. But that does help us in our prayer process. The output of prayer. So when I'm talking about output, I'm talking about really what is the vibe or the energy that we emit when we're engaging in prayer with the Lord. So for many years, I did not have a consistent prayer life, even as a saved Christian. When I did start to have a prayer life that became more of a regular part of my existence, my prayers were often, the energy was not, it wasn't fervent, it wasn't passionate, it didn't even seem really genuine and sincere, now that I'm able in retrospect to look at that, because I didn't feel the closeness with God. I didn't feel like Jesus was really right there with me. So now the output of my prayers is very much like I'm talking to my daddy. You know, I think back to when I was 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years old, and my daddy, you know, was everything at that time to me. I just adored him. I had such high respect and regard, not that I don't today, but you know what I'm saying, from that childlike, wide-eyed, innocent perspective. And now that's how I am with God, my Father. You know, that adoration piece is there. And I love getting into a space with him and just letting myself go in him, because I know I can trust him totally. That's what that's like for me now. So that output is life-sustaining for me, and it just generates, you know, the interaction, being, it generates positivity in that interaction. So I would just encourage you to make sure that the output from your prayer is loving and reverent and, you know, that adoration and that admiration can be, it's actually palpable in that space. And then I want to talk about the outcome of our prayers, so are the outcomes. So I have people on a prayer request wall. I want to say this. I recently had to remove someone from my space. The individual is not a bad individual, wasn't really doing anything that I could ostensibly see was harmful to me. But in my prayers, I heard the Lord say, the person should not be in my space. And even though I was wanting or desiring a connection with the individual, God wasn't advancing it. And in response to my prayers, I missed the opportunity this week to connect with the individual on a deeper level because God blocked it. And my prayer was for God to block, you know, further connection if it wasn't going to be to my benefit. So I say all of this to say, make the point that the outcome of our prayers is going to be based upon what our heart is really seeking or wanting. So if you're truly wanting more of God and for God to lead and direct your life and you pray that, guess what? You may not always get what you actually want out of that situation that you're praying about, but what you will get is God's direction. And see, that's more important than maybe the temporal thing that you want. So the outcome of our prayers, when we are in right relationship with God, is always going to glorify and honor God. When we're in right relationship with him, Satan's going to throw some curveballs. He always does. That's what he lives to do. I'm 42 and a half, and he's still throwing curveballs. And sometimes I'm kind of falling a little bit to that curveball. I'm getting a little off track. But my prayers are consistent. My prayers are that, Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. I want to be led by you. And because of that, even when those curveballs come, they don't knock me out. They may have me turn my head in a direction I shouldn't, but I haven't been knocked out by them because I've said, God, I want your protection, your divine shield covering me so that if it looks like I'm going off path, you can pull me back. I want to be pulled back. I want to be pulled back. So, don't disregard the conviction, okay? The outline, the output, the outcome of your prayers, the encounter, the experience, the evidence, the purposes, the practices or processes, all that matters. I want to thank you, those of you who have been following the prayer series. I truly hope it's a blessing. You know, now that we're full-fledged into 2023 weeks, it's occurred to me this is going to be a fantastic year for me. Continue to pray about the things that are heavy on your heart. God knows He hasn't forgotten. He loves you, and I love you as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Have a wonderfully safe MLK holiday. I hope you get the opportunity to engage in some sort of activity that's inspiring and uplifting. Again, our country's going through some very trying times right now. Unity and peace are truly needed. So, God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.